The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Gittin has been sponsored by our good friend and loyal Talmid of the Daf Yomi, Mr. Haimi Dana, and his dear wife, Hashem Yishmerem V'Chayim. He has dedicated this Masechet according to the following principle. Our rabbis tell us that when you learn something, it can avert that item from happening. So we'd like to learn the Masechet Gittin, so it will remain in the theory of learning and never come to fruition in actuality, and therefore it should be blessed, him and his dear wife, and all of Klal Yisrael, with Shalom Bayit, and Hatzlachan Harvacha, Bechol Ma'aseh Yedehem. Amen. Daf Yutet. Today's Gemara is being studied. Alun Nishmat Mor Zekeni Yosef Ben Sarav Emarat Zekenati Yafa Bat Sarav Alun Nishmat Avraham Ben Esteru Hashem Terechem Ben Eden Amen. Today's Daf is being studied for Asher Ma Moshe Ben Dina Sarav Ruhama Bat Rachel V'Sarav Bat Tachar Moshe Ben Sarav Enna Refan Alhem Enna Refan Alhem Enna Refan Alhem Fata Nefesh Fata Guf Fortam Kenu Bad Lubav V'Chin Yerosov V'Nomar Amen. We begin today's Daf on Yudhet Amud Bet, and we are 1, 2, 3, 4 lines from the bottom. Let's just review. We have two very interesting mahlokot between Rabbi Yohanan and Rish Lakish on two different subjects. The first subject we had was mahlokot Rabbi Yohanan and Rish Lakish when a person goes in front of 10 people and he tells them, Kullechem, all of you write for me again. So according to Rabbi Yohanan, what he meant was two of them are witnesses and eight of them are just signatories, just to keep his condition to have everybody signing. The Shaki says, no, all of them actually have to be witnesses. So it's 10 witnesses. We saw in yesterday's Gemara different nafkaminot between the two situations. We also, just keep in mind, as a preparation for this piece of Gemara, we saw another mahalakot Rabbi Yohanan and Rish Lakish in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. Let's review it. Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah held there is no problem in a get mukdam. That's a predated get. The reason we said why Rabbi Shimon holds there's no problem in a predated get is because the only problem you'd have potentially is pirot, is the husband eating pirot, you know, legally or not legally, and he holds that anyway the husband loses pirot from the time that he decides to divorce his wife, which is from the time of the ketiva. So therefore, having a date in the get is not going to affect us anyway. He can't eat pirot from the time that the get is written. The mahloket, the Shtakish and Yohanan, this subject was, the Shtakish says, but there's still a 10-day window. That you only have a 10-day window. Even though it can be predated, you're within 10 days. After 10 days, however, he said, the get is pasul, because you're concerned that maybe there was what's called a pius. Maybe the husband reconciled with the wife, and therefore he was with her, and when that's called the get yashan, when a husband is with a wife, after the get is written, the get becomes pasul. So it gives you up to 10 days to be predated. Rabbi Hanan says, nah, it doesn't matter how many days it was predated, and we don't suspect that there was a pius, because if there was, we'd know about it. Why? Because the neighbors hear the screaming and the yelling and the arguing of the wife and the husband. And if there was a pius, if there was a reconciliation, they would know about it. Therefore, it doesn't matter how predated the get is. Based on this now, just if you know those two mahlokot, we can understand the next sugya. Comes the Gemara and says like this, Hahu da amar lihu da asara. Guy tells 10 people, Kitvu get, le'ishti, le'ishto. Now we're talking about over here where he says, Kul lechem, that she says. So it's a case of kul lechem. Hatom betre minayu biyoma. So two of them signed the get on one day. Ve'inach mikan va'asara yamim. And the others signed it within 10 days. They signed it later. Okay? So therefore, the question was, is the get kasher or not? So Atal came in Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi. They came in front of Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi. Amar le, so he told them, Kedai hu Rabbi Shimon, lesmoch ala b'shat ha-dahak. Listen, you can rely on the Bishon, even though it's a predated get now, because it was signed, two witnesses signed on one day, and the other eight guys signed later on. So, Kedai would be Shimon, just smoke alab, that what? Really, the halakha follows, let's say, the rabbis, but in this case, over here, you wrote the get already and all that. We can rely on a Bishimon that's just a predated get, is okay. So, comes the Gemara and says, ואמר יש לקיש לא הכשיר יש לקי רבי שמעון אלא לאלתר אבל מכאן ועד עשרה ימים לא so what do you mean? Rish Lakish explained to Rabbi Shimon that it was only matir within 10 days. It seems that this get was written, signature signed on one day, and they didn't sign the next ones until after 10 days. So even Rabbi Shimon was only lenient if it's an immediate predated get. But not a get like this, which is after 10 days. Nope, we'll hold like Rabbi Yohanan that says that Rabbi Shimon holds even after 10 days. It's okay. So therefore we're taking Rabbi Shimon the way Rabbi Yochanan interpreted. That even after 10 days, which is, it doesn't matter how predated the shtar is, the get is going to be kosher. Oh, so comes the Gemara and says, wait. Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan, if you're going already with Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shnayim mishum edim v'chulam mishum tenai. Once already introducing Rabbi Yochanan, you have no question at all. Because he holds that, in this case, all 10 are not witnesses. It's only 2 witnesses and 8 just because of the condition. So basically, it's not a predated shtar at all. Because the 2 witnesses that signed, and the other 8 could sign whatever they want. They're not signing from witnesses. So once already introducing me to Rabbi Yochanan, you don't even have to get involved with Rabbi Shimon at all. That's the Gemara says, no, Ba'i. Kiddush Lakish Svir Aleh, which means in that argument he holds like Kiddush Lakish, which means in the argument of how when a guy says Kullechem, is it all 10 witnesses or is it 8 and 2? So on this, the rabbi holds like Kiddush Lakish that all 10 are witnesses. Oh, but in the argument of explaining to Bishamon, do you have 10 day window or do you have more? In that, he holds like Rabbi Yohanan. So then we're back to the story. Guy told the witnesses, Kul lechem. Oh, if you hold like this, Lakish, Kul lechem means what? All 10 are witnesses. And what happened in the episode? 2 guys signed on one day, and the other 8 guys signed after 10 days. Oh, in that he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, that there's no limit of a predated shtar according to Rabbi Shimon, and therefore he was makshir the get. So therefore you're mixing and matching. You're taking the Shlakish in the argument of Kulechem, that all 10 are witnesses, and you're taking Rabbi Yochanan in the interpretation of Rabbi Shimon, that there is no limit exactly how long the shtar can be predated. And therefore, in this case, if you're taking Rabbi Shimon, Alibad Rabbi Yochanan, the get would be okay. Kamzi Mishnah, Bechol Kotvim. Okay, now we discuss the ink that can be used to write the get. One rule is that the get has to be written on with indelible ink, unerasable ink. So the Gemara and the Mishnah gives examples. B'diyo, we'll just read the inks and then we'll explain them. B'diyo, besam, besekra, bekumos, bekankantum, ubkol davar, shehu shel kayama. Point is, any type of ink that is indelible. And kodvim, lo b'mashkim, you're not allowed to use mashkim, is like liquids, velo b'meperot, fruit juices, velo b'chod davar she'enu mitkeyem. For that matter, anything that is not mitkeyem, does not stay. Ala kol kodvim, now we discuss the items that you could write the get on. Ala ale shel zayit, you're allowed to write it even on a olive leaf. Ve'ala keren shel para, or like on the horn of a para, of a cow. Ve'noten at the para, and you give her the entire cow. It gets written on the cow. Al yedeh, al yad shel eved, you can even write it on the hand of a servant, of a slave. Ve'noten at the eved, and give her the slave. Rabbi Yosegeli Omer and Kodvim, lo al davar sheyesh bo ruach hayim. He says, no, you cannot write on something that has life. Ve'lo al ha'ochlim, nor can you write on ochlim, which is food. Now Rashi just says ala ale shel zayit tilusha. She says the case is talking about where it is not connected. It's talush. Ve'noten at the parah. Gemara is going to explain all these cases. We'll wait for the Gemara to explain the end of the Mishnah. Now we're going to go back to discuss the different type of inks that are permissible. So the Gemara says diyo. What is diyo? Diyuta. That's the regular standard black ink that we know from the Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzot. That's called Dior. Sama. That's called Sama. Okay, we want an English word for that. Urashi gives you the French word, Urpiment.
Yellow paint.
He calls that yellow?
Urpiment.
Yeah, Urpiment. Okay, Sikra. Amar Abba Barbar Hana Sikrita. That's a red type of a dye that she says. Sikrat Hashema. Kumus. Kuma. Okay, that she tells us snafa ilan, it's the sap from a tree. Kan kantum. Amar Ababar Barhana Amar Shmuel Harta de Ushkafe. That's like the shoemaker's paint, right? That they use to paint the leather. Okay, like the polish of the shoemaker. So that is also okay. Ubchol davar shumitkayim. And then after the Mishnah gives us some examples, it says, and any item that is mitkayim. Now what do you need that for? You gave me a whole list. So the Gemara says, la'atuyemai. What is that statement coming to include? La'atuye haditani rabbi hanina. Kadvo bimet tariya ve'afsa kashir. If you wrote with mit tariya, now there's a machlok in the nashi what mit tariya is. He brings two opinions. As she says, megeshamim, sometimes rainwater. That's the rainwater that that drips down. So it has like a coloration in it, either from the roof or something like that. And that pigmentation in the rainwater is kayam. Or he says, nashon moni metariya mayim sheshorin boperi. That's water that they soak a certain fruit in it, shuken afatsim, like the gold nuts. And therefore, gold nut water. Okay, so it's machloket on metariya. And then you have afsa. Okay, how are we explaining afsa?
Walnut juice.
Okay, that is also walnut juice. Walnut is a type of peri, he says.
Walnut.
Okay, that's what it is. Well, he explains over here, which way the Gemara is going to explain later on. He says it's a certain type of tree, and next to the tree grows a certain sira'a, like a hornet. And the hornet lays its eggs, and the eggs go between the bark of the tree and the tree itself, and they take from that bark over there, and they make this inkovi. That's called afat. I will wait for the Gemara to explain it, but basically it's a type of ink that is indelible. Tani Rabbi Chaya. Okay, Rabbi Chaya says, Katvo be'avar. Avar is like lead. Okay, she says, Sheshafa ofaret be'mayim. You took the lead and you put it in water, and you made the water black. Be'shachor. Okay, shachor, as she says, be'hamim. That's like coals. Ub'shihur. Shihur, as she says, harta dushkeve. That's the polish of the shoemaker. Kashir. Okay, all these cases are kashir. Why? Because it's indelible. Itmar, we have a statement of the Amoraim. Hama'avir diyo al gabe sikra b'shabbat. Okay, a person, let's say, had on a piece of paper, he had letters that were written in sikra. Sikra, we said, is red ink. He went on Shabbat and he wrote over those red letters in black ink. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yohanan v'rishtakish, de'amri tarvayu hayav shtayim. You hayav two different ayuvim over here. Ahat mishum kotev, v'ahat mishum mohek, which means mohek because you're erasing the bottom letters. Dio is more prominent than the red ink, and therefore when you're writing the dio, the black ink over the red ink, first of all you're erasing the bottom letters by writing over it, and the erasing that you hayav on Shabbat is an erasing that's al menat lichtov, that you're erasing with intention to write, and here you're erasing the bottom letters in order that you can write on top of them two new letters in a more prominent fashion in the black, and therefore it's going to be Hayav Mishum Kotev, and because of Mohek. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Al Gabes Sikra, Shte Otiyot Shel Sikra, Ve'ervir Alim Diyo B'Shabbat, Mohek, Al Menat Lichtov, Shte Otiyot. We're talking about you wrote two letters, B'Shabbat Hayav, Ve'ze Mohek Atachtonot, Sikra, Ve'katav Alyonot, Diyo. Good. Now we get to the next case. Dio al gabe dio, right? Black ink over black ink. Sikra al gabe sikra, or red ink over red ink. Patur. Why? As she says, Sheareu, and the Bach answers, Kibatehila, lo katav velo mahak. You didn't write anything. Whatever was written in the same color. And you didn't erase anything, so therefore everything is sad. Again, we're not saying it's mutar to do such a thing on Shabbat. We're just saying it's not the av melacha of kotev and mohag. It does not enhance it in any way. Right? The red stayed red, the black stayed black. Now the Gemara has the question. Sikra al gabe diyo. When you write the red ink over the black ink on Shabbat. Amri la haya va amri la patur. So here already you have a machloket. Now, what's the logic to say patur or hayav? Amri le hayav moheku. Bottom line, when you're writing the red ink over the black, you're erasing. You're erasing the black ink, which is underneath. Amri la patur. But the logic says patur mekalkelhu. Because you, it is an act where you are destroying. What does it mean destroying? Mekalkel, you're ruining. That she says vahabi le kemohek al menat shelo lichtov. Which means, when you write red over black, black is more prominent.
Yep.
And therefore the red, if anything, you ruined it. And therefore when you mekalkel, when you do something that is like a destructive, so you're not hayav on such things on Shabbat. Ulman de mehayev. Oh, but what about the rabbi that says hayav? Now she says, lo ave mekalkel kol kach, share ketavo nikar. Which means it's not such mekalkel, because it seems you can still see the black ink underneath. Which the red doesn't blot it out totally. Yeah, it is a form of erasing, but since the black ink is still nikar, you can't say it is totally a mekalkel. Okay, so those are basically the cases. The obvious case where everybody agrees is black on red. The case where also everybody agrees is black on black, red on red. And the place where you have the mahlokit would be red on black. One logic comes along and says, you hayav. Why? Because bottom line, you're erasing. Yeah, hayav on erasing, because we're not going to consider the writing prominent. We had black and you wrote red, that's not considered a prominent ketivah. But it's considered a mechika in the sense that you did erase the bottom. It's not a mekalkel because it's still legible. However, according to other shita, no. When you erase with red over black, that's mekalkel. You took something good, you had good black ink on the bottom. You write there red on the top. That's when you mekalkel. It has to be hayav. It has to be amanat lichtov. Here you wrote something that was not a prominent writing. Okay, so that's that. The mefashim are explaining over here that the mechika, normally, you're not chayav mohaik unless it's al menat lichtov. Because normally, a mechika is a destructive act. Normally, every mechika, you're destroying something, right? You're erasing. So therefore, to be chayav, it's got to be a positive action, mechika al menat lichtov. Here, however, the mechika is through writing. And therefore, this type of mechika, bottom line, you do see the red ink on top. You do see red ink. And therefore, it's called mechika because you're erasing the bottom. But you can't call it a full kilkul because still you have something on top. So such a mechika, even if it's not al menat lichtov, is going to be hayav. I repeat again, the whole mechanics of why mechika you need al menat lichtov. Why do you need that mechika? Why not stop? If I just go on Shabbat and erase two letters, it should be hayav. Look, you're mekalkel. It's a destructive act. Now I have a blank piece of paper where I had something written there. But if I can give you a case where I can have a mechika that's not al menat lichtov, but there's a positive result.
Like what?
Like this case of writing red over black. Which, you're right. I'm writing the red over the black. Writing, it's not going to be. Because bottom line, when I had a black and you put a red in its place, that's not considered a ketivah. But bottom line, I did erase the bottom black. Ah, but it's not amanat to write. You're right, but I didn't make a kilkul there. Because bottom line, I do have something positive. I do have two red letters here. So there, and that's nikar. And that's incidentally what Nashi meant. Now, if we go back to Nashi, when Nashi meant, let me read this Nashi again, mekalkelu. V'havi le kemohek amanat shelo lichtov. Ulman de mechayev. Ketavo nikar means the red is noticeable. Since the red is noticeable, you can't say you did something totally destructive. You look at the paper, I don't see a blank paper, I see two letters, albeit they're in red. So what? Therefore, it's a mechika shelo al menat lichtov, where there's no kilkul, that's why you're going to be hayav. Okay, now we get back to the subject. So those are the cases. Now the Gemara says, Edim she'en yud'im lachtom. Yeah, this early in the Masechet. You have edim, they don't know how to sign. Okay? Mao shechtov lehem besikra. So let the people come along, help them out. Let them sign the names in red. V'yachtemu k'tav elyon, and then let them just write over those red letters in black. So the Gemara says, k'tav o eno k'tav, does that count or not? Amar le, eno k'tav. He told them, no good. What do you mean? Amar le, v'alu l'mataru rabbeinu, you told us by Shabbat, k'tav elyon, k'tav denyan Shabbat. You told us on Shabbat, if a guy writes black on red, he's Hayav Ketiva. So now I ask you a question by a get. Where a witness writes black on red, you tell me what? Is that not considered a signature? Amar le, v'chi mipnei she'anu medamin na'aseh ma'aseh. So he comes along and tells them, because we were being mahmir, which means even on Shabbat that we said Hayav, we were talking, you know, from Sivara, logic. We weren't so certain that it's considered a ketiva. We were saying it seems that way. So because what we said, it seems, now you're going to be lenient to come along and say that the get is a get, which means you're going to have to be mahmir in both places. You're going to have to be mahmir on Shabbat not to do it, because it could be considered, it could be considered a ketiva. But you also have to be concerned that we're not going to kosher a get and let this lady now go get married in this case as well. So he thought that when he said the law on Shabbat, he was saying it certainty. It's ketiva. Also, it's ketiva, so why you get it? It's also ketiva. He said, no. Even on Shabbat, we were playing back and forth with the sevarot. We were mahmir. But just because we were mahmir on Shabbat, now you want to do a ma'aseh by gitin? There's that much. Now look at Rashi. That she says, "Naase maase lehakel, afidu dinyan Shabbat imba maase liyadenu bezman bet hamikdash, lo hayti sumech al devar lehavi cholin nazara." Says even if it came to me this question, the times of bet hamikdash on Shabbat, where a guy wrote black on red, I wouldn't tell him to bring a korban. Why? Because maybe he's bringing cholin nazara. Because maybe he's not chayav, and if he's not chayav, he's bringing a Cholin and a non-sacred sanctified korban in the Azara. He says, even on Shabbat, I don't know. So at that point, you can't be mekel by get. Comes the Gemara and says, Itmar, another statement. Edim she'en yod'im lachtom. Edim don't know how to sign. Rav Amar, so Rav gives you an idea. Mekara'in lahem niyar halak, umimali'im et akira'im diyo. So that she learns, what does this mean? Mekar'in really means misertin. You take a sharp tool, and what do? You etch the tzura of the otiyot, right? The shape of the letters, you etch it on the cloth, right? On the blank part of the paper, underneath the get. And they come along, and they fill in with ink. Okay, so you're outlining it. That's what you're outlining it on the cloth itself. That's the way that she understands how it was done. Now, there's other mefarshim over here that have a different interpretation. Let's go one at a time. Some want to say that that's not going to be a good system, asking on Nashi, because when you make hakika with this utensil, it's ktav, that's mitkayim, right? That engraving, we'll call it, is mitkayim, therefore it's ketiva. So it's written already. So when the edim fill in the ink, they're not really adding anything, because it was a ketiva already there. That's the question that they ask on Nashi. So some want to say that in Nashi, when he says to write it like that, to engrave it, don't engrave it completely, which means leave blanks. When you're etching the outline of the letter, they didn't etch it complete. They would leave spaces, exactly, dotted lines. So that's not considered a letter. And then the witness would come and fill it in, so the way he's doing the actual writing itself. Tosfot had a different interpretation. He understood more like we learned earlier, a stencil. Which he learned that you take a separate piece of paper and you cut out, like the Gemara says, mekara'in. You cut out the shape of the letters, of their names, and then you put that stencil over the get, and then they just fill in the blanks. The only problem with both shitot is like this. When you sign a name on a get, it's got to be a signature that can be verified. Now, in this case over here, the edim of it, whether you're learning like Rashi or Tosafot, It's not their signatures. It's really now you see their signatures, right? Who can come along now? Two witnesses, when they want to make Kayim the get, we know their signature. You're seeing the signature of the guy that made the stencil. You're seeing the signature that the guy made the engraving. So Tosfot understands and he explains like this. You have to say that their signature still is unique. Why? Because when they make the stencil, let's say, and they put it over the paper, you tell the witnesses, don't fill in the entire stencil, which is put the ink and leave some space between the stencil and the letter. And therefore, it is still unique. Therefore, their handwriting has a distinctness to it. If you look at he gives you an example in the picture over here. You see the Gimel and the Dalet in the art school book here. You see, the stencil is much wider, but they're only writing in part of it. And therefore, still there's a distinction for their signatures to be separate. In any event, the Gemara comes along and says, that's what you do for witnesses that don't know how to sign. You do them this system over here. So comes the Gemara and says, Ushmael Amar Be'avar. Shmuel said, no, you don't got to even do this. Let the first guys write the signatures in lead, and they'll write over it. Oh, the Gemara says, Be'avar Sakadatach. How could you tell them to write it in lead? Ve'ad Tani Rebihaya Ketavo Be'avar B'shachor U'b'shichur Kasher. We learned earlier that lead is considered indelible. And therefore it's indelible, so therefore the signatures are signed already. You can't write on something that's considered a ktav already. So Gemara says, La kasha, ha be'avra, ha be'maya de'avra. Depends. The lead itself, if you're going to write with, that's erasable. Therefore you can write over it and it's considered a ketiva. That which we said it's indelible is talking where you took the lead and you soaked it in water. When the water absorbs the lead, that water remains now indelible. So therefore, again, in the case where we say to the Edim don't know how to sign, Shmuel is saying, let even them sign, let the first group sign on with lead, meaning actual lead itself, sign their names. That's erasable. Then the Edim will sign over it, so their signature on top is considered a ketiba. We said it's indelible, that's the mayim that they put the avar in. Another answer the Gemara says, Rabbi Abu Amar, Bimem milin. Oh, let the first group sign bimem milin. That's water that they crushed gallnuts in. All right, so it leaves an impression, and then the Edim will sign over that. See, all we're doing is answering over here a scenario when the witnesses don't know how to sign. How do you deal with it? So first says do the stencil. Second answer, do the lead. Third answer, do this gallnuts in the water for them. Now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'atani Rabbi Hanina ketavo b'metaria ve'afsa kasher. So what are you talking about? We learned metaria, and the way that she understood metaria was what? That was the gallnuts in the water. And what? That was mashmar, and they said kasher. That means that's indelible writing. So how could you tell me let the witnesses sign over this metaria? The first one is considered a writing. So comes the Gemara and answers, Lakashia, had the afits, had the lo afits. She'en memilin al gabe memilin. It depends what you did to the klaf, which means the klaf, the parchment, sometimes they would treat it with gallnuts, the klaf itself, and sometimes they wouldn't. Now, if you treat the klaf with gallnuts as a procedure, when you're going to write with the gallnuts in the water, it's not going to be noticed because it's writing memilin on memilin. It's writing gallnuts on gallnuts. So that ktav is not going to be kayam. That case, the witnesses could write over it. But if you have klaf that wasn't treated with gallnuts, then when you write with the gallnut water, it's going to be indelible. In that case, we're going to say that the witnesses cannot sign over. So it all depends what you did to the klaf in the first place. Look at that sheet. Had the afitza, hakelapim, the klaf, the parchment meubadim ba'afatzim, right? They're treated with gallnuts. Roshmin alehen ita'edim b'memilin. Then already you can make a signature for those witnesses with memilin. De'lo aviktav shalem mar'ei kelapim k'mar'ei aktav, right? Because the writing looks like the klaf. Ve'enu nikar, it's not noticeable. Hilkach en memilin agabe memilin. Right, you can't write gallnuts on gallnuts. Comes the Gemara and says another interpretation. that Papa Amar Birok. He says over here, you could write it for the witnesses with the saliva. You take the saliva, you make an impression of the signature, let them sign over the saliva. Vechen, orire le papa Torah. Papa Torah, they called him Papa Torah because he was a salesman of, he was a broker of ox. So they called him Papa Torah. He told them, use rock, berok. He told them, use the saliva. The anime de begitin. Oh, that only talks about, we allow gitin. Which means this whole business over here that we allow to write, give them an impression, and then let the witnesses sign over it by a get will be lenient. Do you know why? Because of aguna. Obviously, these guys are the witnesses over here. They don't know how to sign. If you're going to have to wait now to find guys who know how to sign their name, she's going to be held up. We don't want the lady to be an aguna. So when it comes to gitin, we want to write the get fast for her. Yeah, but these guys are not a sign. Okay, we'll play all these games over here, so make an impression, let them sign over it. Aval b'shtarot lo. But when it comes to regular monetary shtarot, you know, loans and things like that, now she says yahzir achara edim b'ki'im lachtom, which means you got to wait. We're going to wait until you find normal witness. I mean, we're worried in the case of get. Listen, the husband's here now. If you're going to push it off to your farm, maybe the husband's going to go away to Medina Tayyam. Maybe he's going to die over there. Now she falls to your boom. Are you going to put her into all sorts of dilemmas? So therefore, that she says, by a get, you can be lenient. However, when it comes to shashtarot, which there's a wait. Wait till you find a guy who knows how to sign his name. Kibra says, Da'ahu da'abad ovda b'shashtarot v'nagdei Rav Kahana. There was a story that someone, by other documents, not a get, had these people that don't know how to sign their names. So they made the impression for them, and Rav Kahana got angry. So they were not lenient by Shashtot, and he gave them Malkut. Why? Because they were lenient where they shouldn't have been. Tanya Kivate de Rav. We have a braita to support Rav that said you do the impression, like either the stencil or the engraving. How do we know that? Yadim She'en Yud'im Lachtom. They don't know how to sign. Mekara'im Lahem Niyar Halak. Like we said, either you engrave or you make a stencil for them. Very good. And the witnesses will fill the blanks in with ink. Now, according to Tana Kama, which we're just reading this Braita, he does not make a difference between Gittin and other Shtarot. He just says a blanket statement. If they don't know how to sign, this is what you do. He wasn't talking about Gittin. He's talking about everything. So comes the Ban Shimon Gamliel and says, "I'm not a Ban Shimon Gamliel. Ben Meitiv Vani Memorim B'Gitin Hashim." Oh, so the Ban Shimon says, "No, no, this hitit to play around with the witnesses. That's only talking about by get because of Aguna. Aval b'Shechrore Avadim Ushar Kol Hashtarot Im Yudim Likrot VeLachtom." Oh, now the Ban Shimon throws in a new item. If they know how to read and sign, Chotmin, then already they can sign. Ve'im Lav. In Chotmim. Now, Rabban Shimon Gamliel throws in Kiri'ah, which was not discussed by Tana Kama. Our discussion was, you know how to sign, you don't know how to sign. Rabban Shimon says, well, you gotta know how to sign and read. So the Gemara told it, Kiri'ah Mandechar Shemeh. Who was talking about Kiri'ah? That Rabban Shimon Gamliel just threw that in. So the Gemara says, you know what? The Braita, or actually, yeah, the Braita is missing some words. Hasurim Mechsera Vachi Ketari. Edim. She'en Yud'im Likrot. This is Tana Kama now. Edim that are illiterate, they don't know how to read. Korin lifnehem v'chotmim. So read the shtar in front of them, and then let them sign. So that's a case where they can't read, but they can write. Then the next case, v'she'en yud'im lachtom. Or if they don't know how to sign either, so then you do both for them. Read the shtar for them, and then do the stencil, and let them. So Tana Kama is lenient, even though the guy is totally illiterate, he can't read, he can't write. Read the paper to them and have them sign in the way we explained. Amar Rabbi Shimon Gabbat Shem Gamliel Bamed Vari Mamarim Bikitin Hashivya. This leniency we're going to say is only what by a get. Aval Shechrore Avadim Ushak Nushtarot Im Yodim Likrot Velachtom Chotmim Vilav En Chotmim. Rabbat Shimon Gamliel is Machmir over here that by Shar Shtarot you got to know not only how to sign, you got to know how to read it as well. So therefore we have a fantastic mahlok. Tana Kama is holding what? Ben beget. Ben b'shtashtarot. You don't have to know how to read. You don't have to know how to sign. There's options for you. Rabban Shimon Gamliel is away. I'm only giving you options by get. But by shashtarot, you got to know how to read and write. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, my ta'amad Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What's the reason why he's lenient by getin? Shelo yu benot yisrael agunot. Right? We don't want the Jewish girls to be agunot, which means you have a guy over here, he doesn't know how to sign his name. What are you going to do now? You're going to wait now to find other witnesses? In the interim, the husband's going to go out of town, or he's going to die, something's going to happen, she's going to fall to Yibum. We don't want to hold her up. So comes the Gemara and says, who does the halakha follow like? Amar Rava, halakha kerabban Shimon ben Gamliel. We follow that what? The leniency is only by getin. Verav gamda mishemed Rava amar en halakha. Oh, came Rav Gamda and said, you know what? That guy's not like Rashbag. So the Gemara says, hold it. Ve'ela keman. Then who's the halakha? The only other option is who? Kerabbanan. Now, according to Rabbanan, that means even by Shar Shtarot, it's permissible even if a guy does not know how to sign his name, we'll allow him we'll do the stencil for him. Right? Or read. But the point is, if you tell me that halakha is like the rabbis, we have a problem with you, Rav Gamda. V'ahu de'avad uvda b'shar shtarot v'nagde Rav Kahana. So then why did Rav Kahana give the guy lashes when he signed his name on other shtarot? Right, Rav Kahana had a case where a guy didn't know how to sign his name, they made the stencil for him, and what? He signed over it. What? Rav Kahana beat him up. So what does that mean? That the halakha is not like Rabbanan. So how can you come along and say Rav Gamda, the halakha is like the rabbis? If the halakha is like the rabbis, why did Rav Kahana give the guy Malkut? Targema akiri'ah. So he said like this. That which I said, Rav Gamda, halakha like the rabbis, is only what they said regarding not being able to read. So I'm taking the rabbis partially. Which means, when it comes to a get, everybody agrees, even if they can't read, even if they can't write, read the get to them, have him sign with the stencil. By Shar Shtarot, we're all going to say that halakha is what? If they don't know how to sign, they can't sign. That's why Rav Kahana gave the guy Malkut. Oh, when did I say halakha like the rabbis? In reference to what they said of reading. Which is, if guys know how to sign Shar Shtarot, but they just don't know how to read, in that case, we'll let the shtar be read to them, and therefore, they can sign their names after. So therefore, when Rav Gamda said halakha like the rabbis, or when he said en halakha like Rashbag, what he meant to say is, we're going to take the rabbis partially. Not on what they said by Hatima, but what they said by Kiri'ah. Therefore, Rav Kahana's story is good. That's why he gave the guy Malkut, because we don't take the rabbis when it comes to Hatima. But indeed, if let's say the case came to Rav Kahana, and the witnesses knew how to sign, but they just couldn't read it, he'd have it read in front of them, and he'd let them sign. Now the Gemara tells some stories. Rav Yehuda mitzta'er kare v'hatim. Now she says, Rav Yehuda was a zakin, and he was going blind, bar minnan, and when he needed to sign as a witness or a judge, he would read the shtar himself. He wouldn't have it read to him. He would pain himself to read the shtar. Amar le'ula. So Ula tells him, Lo tzirichat. You don't need it. What are you painting yourself? Da'a Rabbi El-Azhar, Marad de Eretz Yisrael, which means he's the Baki, more than all his friends, he's the expert. Karu kameh v'hatim. They would read the shtar in front of him, and he would sign. So therefore, what's the problem? When it comes to kiri'ah, you can be lenient. You don't have to read it yourself. You can have somebody else read the shtar in front of you. But Rav Nachman, Karu kameh safre dayane. And also Rav Nachman, when he was in Betin, the other dayanim would read the shtar in front of Rav Nachman v'hatim, and then he would sign. Now the Gemara says, v'davka Rav Nachman v'safra dayane. Only Rav Nachman and the safra dayane. What's the, how do they explain the English of safra dayane? It's like the judge's scribe. It seems Rav Nachman had scribes under him, you know, writing shtarot for him. You could trust them. Normally speaking, you need two people to read the shtar. Because who says maybe the one guy's lying? But in the case of Rav Nachman and his scribes, they were scared of him. And therefore, even one would be allowed to read the shtar to Rav Nachman. So, which means, but only one of them
Redditim, which means the scribe of the rabbi in front of Rav Nachman. You need that dynamic of his scribe and Davka in front of Rav Nachman. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rav Nachman Dayan Ayam Mimune Mepi Resh Galut. He was appointed by the Resh Galut of Babel. The Hatnet Ben Isiah, he was a son-in-law of the Nasi. Now, the Sofrei Dayanim Yireim Mimenu. Right? The Sofrei Dayanim, his scribes were scared. Velo Meshakre. They're not going to lie. So the Gemara says that Davka Rav Nachman Sofrei Dayane De'it Lehu Emta. That they have fear of him. Aval Rav Nachman V'Sofrei Acharine. But Rav Nachman with other scribes, or Sofrei Dayane V'Inish Acharina Lo. Okay, so that's that point. But so normally, generally speaking, we're saying that you need two people to read the document, because who says the first guy tell the truth? But in the case where you have the gadol and you have the people that are reading it are fearful, so then it would be permissible. Good. Comes the Gemara and says, "La papa ki ava atal kame shtara parsaa da avid ba'arkaot shel kutim." When they would bring in front of him a shtar that was written in Persian, that was made in the arkaot of the kutim, of the goyim, and the signatures were goyim, which we learned above, that we makshir such a ged, dinah de malchuta dinah, right? We said that the law of the land is the law, therefore the arkaot that enforced the laws of dinim, you could trust it. Makre lehu leshne kutim, ze shelo bifne ze, bemasiyah lefi tumo. Which means, he would have two kutim come and read him the shtar, but one not in front of the other guy, and he wouldn't explain to him exactly why he wants him to read the shtar. He just said, read this over here. Well, what did he say? He would do it in a way, because if they know exactly why he's, what his intention is, they might they might lie to him and things like that. So he would read them one without the other one knowing, and he would read it to them b'masiyah lefi tumo, which means that they would just he would tell it to them without telling them the halachic ramifications, why he wants them to read the gate, because then he suspects them they're going to lie. Look at the... and then once they read it to him, what did they do? What did he do? He says, then he would validate the shtar so much, he would use it to even collect from mishabedeh, from properties. We learned earlier that you can only collect from properties. That's if somebody owes somebody money. So without a shtar, he can only get from his movables. But if you have a shtar, he can even go to the property that he sold and put a lien on it. So therefore, when they would read the shtar in front of him, and he would validate it, even though it came from Arkot Shel Goyim, it's okay. Now, even though above we said that such shtarot are no good, that was coming out from Hidyotot. When the shtar comes from not a real Beit Din of the Goyim, it's just coming from non-professional judges that don't have to answer back to the government, then we said you cannot use the shtar. But in this case over here, it was arkaot. It was regular government appointed judges and things like that. So once he had them read it to him, he only trusted two, and he didn't trust them together because they would go into cahoots with each other. And even when he would have them read it, it was only in a way where they weren't understanding why he wants them to read it, so they would have a chance to trick him. Amar Avashe Amar Li Ravuna Bar Natan. Achi Amar Amimor. Hayshtara Parsa. This is a case that we learned earlier. They have a certain shtar that's written in Persian. Dachatme Ale Sade Yisrael. Right? You have Jewish people signing on the shtar. Magbin and Bim Mishabede. Okay, even though it's written in Persian, you have Jewish signatures on it. You can even collect from property. What are you talking about? How could the witnesses sign a Persian shtar? They don't know how to read Persian. They know how to read. What are you talking about? You have to write it on a type of parchment that is non-forgeable. That's a type of shtar, a type of parchment that what? That when you erase it, you're able to notice the erasures. However, these people over here, the Parsiim, how do they know how to make this cloth? So the Gemara says, "Bid afisan." It's talking about where they put the gold nuts on the shtar, and when you put the gold nuts on the shtar, that makes the shtar, non-forgeable. So the shtar was okay as well. Now, we learned earlier that the custom was that they used to repeat the conditions of the shtar at the end of the shtar, in order, they didn't want to leave a blank space between the end of the shtar and the signatures of the witnesses, because if you have a blank space, the guy can come and add more conditions. Well, so they don't do that. Yeah, they did do it. They repeated. So the Gemara says, "Veda ma'kamash ma'alan." So the mustahidush then. Dechol lashon kasher. What is the hadush? You tell me you can write a shtar in Persian in any language. Tanina, we know that. Get shekatvo ivrit ve'edav yevanit yevanit ve'edav ivrit kasher. We know that already from Get. If you wrote it in Hebrew and they signed it in Greek, or they wrote it in Greek and signed it in ivrit, it's okay. What's the hadush of the story? If it was just for the story of Gittin, have amina hani mili be Gittin. Avad b'shal shtarot lo. I would say maybe only by Gittin we're lenient because of aguna and things like that. However, I would say maybe by shal shtarot we're not. Kamashma, even by shal shtarot, you can have the Persian writing and the written in another language, and therefore it's going to be okay as well. Amar Shmuel. Now we're going to explain that there was never a have amina that you need a shar shtarot to be written in Hebrew. That we could assume, like you're saying, could be written arkaot and all that. The Gemara's question was, you might think that it has to be written at least in the language that's spoken in the Medina that they wrote it. So over here, they wrote a get in Parsi, but they didn't speak Parsi over there. So you might think that maybe that's not good. Even if they write it in a foreign language, in a place where it's not understood, still the get is, or the shtar is, okay. Comes the Gemara now with another din. Amar Shmuel. Interesting case. Natana niyar halak. He gave a lady a blank piece of paper. You have two witnesses standing there watching this paper being given over, but they're far away, so they can't notice that it's a blank. And he comes along and says, okay, this is your get. So the deen is migureshit. Yeah. Now, how can it be migureshit? It's a blank. So the Gemara says, Haishinan shema bimim milin ketavo. We're worried that maybe he wrote it in this water that has the gall nuts in it, on a type of cloth where it was treated, and therefore you really can't notice it so good, and therefore it's like invisible ink, where it's there, but just not noticeable, so it looks like it's a blank, and now you can't see it, and therefore she's really divorced. Kebaras, what are you talking about? Metive harezegitech. Guy gives a lady a get. She took the get immediately, she received it, she throws it in the ocean. Or she immediately throws it into the fire. So now there's no proof of the get anymore. But witnesses saw she got it. Then the husband comes along and says, Shtar Pasimu. Oh, that wasn't a get that I gave. That was a Shtar Pasim. What is a shtar pasim? That she explains, shtar piyusim shomer lachavero ohavo ma'amino sheyiktov lo al atzmo shtar chov kedei sheyireh ashir. A guy, let's say, wants to get a loan from a bank. Right? So he wants the bank to think he's a rich guy. So his friend writes him a document, you know, I owe you $1 million. It's a shtar piyus, it's a friend, and I can go to the bank, look, now people owe me, I have credit, things like that. That's called a shtar pasim. Or shtar amana. What is shtar amana? A guy, let's say, that she says, shekatav lelavot velo lava, v'mino lovel lemalveh shelo yitbe'enu, which means he lets the malveh write up a shtar, you know, you owe me $10,000. Okay? Now, he trusts him that he's not going to present it to him until he gives him the loan. But it doesn't. The mother for reason, I want to write it up. Okay, write it up, no problem. And you lend it to me. You'll give me the money. Then it'll take hold. In any event, the point is the husband over here is saying, "Oh, that item I just gave her that she threw in the water. That there's no way you could recover it. It wasn't a get." So the deen is migureshet. She's divorced. You know why? Ve'lo kolemenu leosra, which means we don't believe him now to osir her from getting married. Why? You said it was a get. Two witnesses were standing there, so you gave it. Now, they didn't read it much in front of them, but what? They saw that there were words. There was words written on it. And you said it's a get, so we got to trust you. So the Gemara makes a diyuk. Ta'ama di'ika ktav. Only because they was writing on it. Mm-hmm. However, ha leka ktav lo. But if there was no writing on it, so then when the guy comes along and says that is a kitek without any writing on it, we're going to say It's nothing. The only reason why we say it's stubborn is because there was writing and he said it's a get. But if there's no writing, so therefore it's nothing. Yeah, but that's no. I'll tell you the case we're talking about over here. Look at Rashi. Haleka ktavlo. Di'i b'niyar halak. If you're going to tell me that even on a blank paper she's migureshet, very simple. Why did the Tana have to give me a case over here where there was writing? Give me a bigger hadush that even when there's no writing on it and she threw it in the water, that the get is not going to be a get from the fact that you I'm sorry, that the get is a get. Which, why did you only tell me a case where there was writing? Tell me a bigger hadush. The fact you didn't tell me the bigger hadush must be in that case where there's no writing, the get is invalid. So comes the Gemara, I'll tell you the case. You know why we said it's okay? Ki ka'amar shmue debadkina ne b'mayad denara. You checked it. Which is after he gave the blank to the lady, the rabbi or the witnesses took the shtar and he put it in a certain chemical and the letters come out. I palit palit. Vilo palit, vilo kelum. Which means, it seems when you write it in such a way, if you put it in a certain item called menara, that she says, mayadara is a certain type of color, you smear the get with this color over here, and what happens? If there's writing on the get, it'll come out. So it went through a test. So comes the Gemara and says, vechi palit mayavi. What do I care? Even if the letters come out, so what? Hashtahu de palit. They came out now. Bottom line, at the time of the get, there was no writing there. Now she says, Ukshayu biluot no yaktav. It's not considered writing. It's only coming out now. Which, it was not legible at the time you gave the get. It only came out after you put the it only surfaced after.
It was legible though.
No, we don't know. We don't know when it was. We don't know when it was legible. We're not the one where you throw it away. That case over there, was writing. Again, there's two cases here. There's a case where there was writing on the get, and he gave it to the lady, she threw it in the water, and then the guy claims, no, it wasn't a get. Then we say, you have no right to change your mind. We're going back to the original case, where he gave her a blank. Gave her a blank and said, this is your get. And after she gets it, the Gemara said, there's no writing on it. That's okay. Not going to be okay. So no, the way you tested it. Oh, well, you tested it. How can you say it's good? Which means now it's okay. Now the letters came out. But at the time of the get, there was no letters. So comes the Gemara and says, Shemuel Nameh Haishinan Ka'amar. Which means, I didn't say that it's a kosher get. All I'm telling you is you have to be hoshesh. Suspect. What do you have to suspect? Maybe at the time that you gave it, the writing was there. And then after she got it, it erased. And then when you put it in the water now, you're able to see, which is we don't know what was the status of the get at the time of the giving. If there was nothing written on it at the time of the giving, it can only come out with this process, then it's not a get. But she was, we don't know. We don't know what the status of the get when it got to our hands. And it was, I didn't say it's definitely a get. I said, Haishinan, that it's a get. Look at that sheep. As she says, Haishinan, Shema lo nibli'u yafeh. Which means, I'll tell you, maybe the letters were not swallowed into the klaf so much. If that's the case, it's a good get. And therefore what? Ve'imit. Let's say the husband dies right now. Asura le'kohen. We're going to be mahmir. Because maybe if the get's a get, she cannot marry kohen. Ve'choletzit ve'lo mityabemet. And if the husband dies, she's not going to be able to make yibum. Because maybe she's divorced. She has to make chalitza. Tesafek girushai. Because she's indeed a safek girusha. Which means, bottom line, even if you want to tell me you put the chemical on the paper, on the cloth, in order to get the words to come out, I'll say, now it came out. But at the time that you gave it was ketav balua. And therefore, you got to have a ketav on a get when you give the get. Yeah. So Shmuel says, the truth of the matter is, that was my safek. I don't know if there was ketav there. Maybe there was ketav there at the time, and then it got erased after it went ahead. Right? So therefore he says, you got to be mahmir. What's the mahmir? You got to treat her like a divorce, which means they're not going to get remarried, by the way, with this get. To get remarried, you're going to make her have another get. But at this point over here, if the husband dies, we're not going to let her marry a Kohen, because maybe it was a divorce. Or for that matter, if the husband dies, we're not going to let her make Yibum, because maybe it was a get. So we have to be suspicious of a get, which means it's a get misafik.
Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.